You're listening to Chemistry World with me, Chris Smith. Still to come, an intriguing insight into how cells hibernate, or at least protect their proteins when times are tough. This might be the key to putting tissues into states of suspended animation that are much more resilient to stress. Simon Alberti from the Max Planck Institute in Dresden is trying to understand how cells do this by coupling green fluorescent protein to other cell proteins to trace where they go in the cell and how they behave.
Cells are made up of molecules, and many of them are really large molecules, so they're called macromolecules. So the different types of macromolecules, and we're actually interested in how these macromolecules form really large, complicated structures. So these molecules are constantly talking to each other, so they bind to each other very dynamically, sometimes not so dynamic, but there's a lot of interactions between these molecules, and we're trying to understand this dynamic behavior of molecules in a cell, especially when a cell is exposed to changes in the environment.
So what sorts of changes do you see in the structures of these molecules in the cells when a cell becomes, for instance, stressed?
So what we're basically doing is we're using something that's called a green fluorescent protein. So that's a molecule that emits light. So when you shine light on it, it fluoresces. And you can fuse this protein to any other protein in a cell, essentially see where it's going, you know, how it's moving around in the cell. What you see, for example, I mean, with many proteins and also with other molecules is very often it goes from, for example, from a very homogeneous distribution to a highly ordered kind of patterns. This is actually what we're trying to understand, how these patterns come about and what the mechanisms behind pattern formation is, and also, of course, what the function of this pattern formation is.
Can you explain a little bit more what you mean by these patterns emerging? So what do you see happening when the cells, for instance, become stressed or some external signal is put onto them?
So what we see is that, I mean, many of these molecules initially are very homogeneously distributed. And then upon a stress trigger, you would, for example, see dots emerging, or you would see that this green, initially homogeneous, diffuse distribution would change into a filamentous structure, for example, a highly ordered, elongated filamentous structure.
Yeah. So inside the cell, literally things which were normally a bit like people who are dispersed all over a city, it's almost like those people suddenly coming together into one clutch or crowd of people in one place for
exactly,
some reason.
Yeah.
So what do you think could be going on? Why would these proteins want to clump together in this way?
I think two reasons. So one of them is to make chemistry more efficient. For example, the perturbation or the change outside could be that they're running out of nutrients. And so that means that they have to be more efficient with what they're doing inside. And so by bringing together enzymes, for example, that do certain chemistry in a certain area of the cell, so by concentrating enzymes, they could just speed up chemistry. They could make it more efficient, right? Because if you have a couple of enzymes which are on the same pathway, they could just pass on chemicals or like chemistry between them. So this could really then make reactions in a cell more efficient. On the other hand, and this is something that we found recently, sometimes you also want to switch off activities in a cell. You don't want things to be active just because you don't need them. And so by forming these patterns, this might just be a way through these interactions they just switched off.
You don't think that equally it may be that this reflects the molecules clumping together to protect themselves or to get into some kind of structure that could protect them from whatever is stressing the cell, so that the cell is a bit like packing everything away in the store while the storm goes past?
Exactly. So this is one of the things. I mean, really, they're really protecting themselves also. Like, I mean, first, they're not needed. So you can imagine there's an important enzyme that is necessary for growth, right? And so outside, the conditions change, and they're not perfect anymore. The nutrients are not perfect, and the cell realizes, okay, I cannot grow anymore. And so this very important enzyme, you know, suddenly is not important anymore. And so they just form the structure, well, first to inactivate it. But on the other hand, of course, you're right. I mean, it's also probably about somehow clustering them together and then also maybe safeguarding them from other things going on in the cell, right? I mean, so what cells do when they are running out of nutrients, they start to self-degrade. So they start to self-eat the interior, parts of the interior. And it could be that these structures are also spared from this self-eating that's going on, and so that the cell has a way of saving these structures for later because they're too important, and also because they need them when the conditions outside get better and they don't want to really get rid of them under these conditions just because they're so essential.
So if we can work out how they do this, do you think there's a way that we may be able to induce our own cells to do this? Because there are instances where someone may have ingested a poison, someone may be drowning, or someone may be undergoing surgery, or they've had life-threatening trauma. And being able to put cells into a state of suspended animation while other repair processes are carried out would be very useful medically.
That would be extremely useful. And I completely agree with you. I mean, so this is something that... So we have found just recently that in yeast, the trigger for going into a dormant state or sleeping mode is a drop in pH. So the cells just acidify. And that seems to be a signal that tells the cell, okay, conditions outside are really bad. I need to get ready for hard times. And this signal is then interpreted and turned into all these pattern changes that we observed. And one thing that you see is that this acidification seems to be conserved. So you see this in brine shrimp, for example. You see this in land snails. You also see this in mammalian organisms undergoing hibernation. So really, in all of these cases, when these organisms go into a sleeping mode, then there's also this acidification going on. And you can imagine, of course, that maybe also you can... when there's a human with a medical condition and you want to put that human being into a sleeping mode, right? Maybe you can also do this then by just lowering the pH. And it's actually a well-known thing, and physicians know this, that acidosis, so that means acidification of humans, of the human body, is actually very well tolerated. This could be a way of really reducing enzymatic activities or activities in the human body, and then getting also human being into some kind of suspended animation state. Of course, you can imagine that this would have a lot of medical implications if we were able to do this in a controlled kind of way.
Simon Alberti from the Max Planck Institute in Dresden.